Pittsburgh Pop for a Monday in November with Tim Benz and Rob Owen. Next week is Thanksgiving week. We will have a show for you, and we'll sort of schedule around some hurdles and hiccups here and there throughout the holiday season, but we'll get you something throughout the course of just about every week here leading up to the holidays. Glad you're with us today as we take our weekly look at pop culture, as Rob can be read, TV talk, TV Q&A. Check me out, Breakfast with Benz, each and every day, Monday through Friday. Rob, let's start off with one of the big talking points coming out from the weekend that was in TV, and that was Saturday Night Live, hosted by Dave Chappelle. There was a lot of attention going into this episode because there was at least one report that the writers, some of them, many of them on SNL, were going to boycott Chappelle's appearance. And I think this has to go back to some of the controversial jokes and comments he made about the trans community that a lot of people didn't like. But he did a 15-minute monologue to open up the show. You know, I think the blowback to the Saturday Night Live writers who were allegedly threatening to boycott for the week, maybe it was a wake-up call, I don't know, but I felt like they walked away taking more heat than Chappelle publicly, because a lot of people said, if it's less the writers and more of Chappelle, it might be funnier. And I thought his opening monologue was pretty good. What'd you think?
Oh, I did not. I did
you
not
didn't?
No, I thought it wasn't funny. I thought that as much as he was calling out Kanye West's anti-Semitism, it also seemed like he was kind of doubling down on the anti-Semitism. I also, he just gets fixated on one subject, and it's like there were a lot of other things to talk about last week that he could have had fun with, and he didn't. I thought, you know, some of the sketches he did were good. That opening monologue, I kept waiting for it to be funny, and it to me, it was not.
He's an established enough comedian where I think, Rob, he doesn't have to sell the bit of the material that people are kind of going in there willing to laugh and looking to laugh, especially when there's as much buildup as there was to this. And that helps him when it comes to the joke writing. And that's why he got the response that he did.
Yeah, although, I mean, some of the response was like, are we supposed to laugh at this? I don't know. I mean, he certainly thinks that he is that person. I think he certainly once upon a time was that person who had endeared himself to enough people that he could just go out there and do whatever he wanted. But I also feel like the bloom is off the rose a little bit. There have been a lot of pieces written by smarter people than I about, you know, just sort of his tone and, you know, Holocaust denialism is okay if you weren't anywhere near it. And apologies are a joke, just be offensive and don't worry about it. This is one guy's interpretation of some of his monologue. I have liked him more in previous SNL appearances, let's put it that way.
What'd you like about the sketches? Which sketches did you say that you liked?
The barbershop one. I thought the barbershop one was pretty funny. And then there was not a sketch with him, but there was a new character on Weekend Update. Sarah Sherman introduced a new character on Weekend Update that I thought could have potential. I'm not sure. We'll see.
All right, Rob, let's also get to some sports-related news. This involves the Steelers on television. The Steelers are no longer in prime time. They flexed out that game on NBC to put in the Chargers and the Chiefs. I still think it's a quizzical decision anytime you take the Steelers out of prime time. Anytime you put the Chiefs in prime time, I get it. It makes sense. Patrick Mahomes is maybe still the most interesting watch in the NFL. The Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. It's a big game for them against the Chargers. But, you know, as we saw last night, the Chargers and their offense can look as pedestrian and human as anybody else. In the NFL these days. I get it. The Steelers aren't as good as they normally are. I get it. The Bengals aren't as good as they were last year. The Bengals usually don't bring a big number unless they're playing the Steelers, but they are playing the Steelers. The Steelers still bring a good national audience. The Bengals look terrible on primetime recently. The Steelers have been blown out whenever they play good teams. I get whatever factors were going into this from a football standpoint, But Bengals Steelers always has done well in prime time. They don't fight like they used to. The rivalry isn't as nasty as it was as recently as 5 or 6 years ago. But it was a quizzical decision to me, especially when you knew that the Bengals would be coming off a bye, so they weren't going to lose. Like, the Bengals were going to lose this week, and the Steelers probably were going to win. They got T.J. Watt back, so I was surprised by it. You know, getting a 425 game for the Steelers, that's not terrible. I mean, they have a lot of primetime games, but the Chiefs sure have a lot of primetime games. And the strangest thing to me is, if you're saying Chiefs bring a good national audience, Mahomes is a draw, well, Watt and the Steelers are a draw too, so you're kind of washing things out there. And it's not like the Chargers have a national audience. You know, the Chargers barely have a Los Angeles audience, for crying out loud. So, I don't know. I was surprised by it.
The only thing I can think is the Chargers is a very, very large media market in Los Angeles, right? So maybe the thinking is that we would rather have a team where we have an 0-0 than two teams where we don't have an owned station. I don't know. I'm floating theories. I have no idea, but that's the only thing that I can think of.
One thing I'm wondering, I would like to see the numbers. The time we're doing this, I haven't seen the numbers for what the overnights were for football last night when the Chargers were on, but it's the second straight week when the Chargers are going to be in prime time as well. So that to me, like, maybe feels a little bit like a saturation too. And it's not like the Chargers had a brand of football last night that wowed everybody and was entertaining. So,
right. But I figure it's all financial, right? I mean, it's sure, all to the bottom line, and NBC owns their station in Los Angeles. So if they want to make a choice that is going to better their own station, as opposed to an unowned affiliate, you would put your own station, the team in the market where you own a station, in primetime more than you would somebody else.
Former
conspiracy theory, I have no idea.
Former Steelers coach Bill Cowher certainly made some news on Sunday on the pregame show. He went off on a rant, the likes of which I haven't seen from Cowher since maybe my first year on the beat when he yelled at me. He went off on the Jeff Saturday hire. Jeff Saturday is the former NFL player who had been an analyst for ESPN and was hired with zero coaching experience by the Indianapolis Colts to be their interim coach a week ago. And Cowher was aghast and just ripped the hire, called it a travesty, said it was an insult to the coaching community, and went on this 2-minute tirade. And then, of course, Jeff Saturday went out there and won his first game against Josh McDaniels, who's been a longtime assistant with the Patriots and has been hired again for his second tour of duty with a National Football League team as a head coach, and stinks. And the Raiders stink, and they lost to Jeff Saturday's Colts in game one that Saturday coached. So, yeah, go figure. But that was something that definitely was trending yesterday, Rob. I don't know if you saw any of it, heard any of it, but Cowher is not one that, in that role, makes a ton of news with his takes, with his opinions, unless it's Pittsburgh related, and we affix the importance to it because he's Bill Cowher. But, you know, that was a very hot takey kind of thing that he did. And then, of course, it blows up his face and Saturday wins his first game with Indianapolis. But did you catch it? Did you see it at all? Or?
I did not. But that is entertaining. Didn't work out the way he intended.
Staying local for a second, American Rust in season 2. How do I get to be an extra?
How do you get to be an extra? We posted a story last week, and I will include a link in the story on this podcast. Nancy Mosser is casting core background extras. That's people who they will need on multiple occasions during the shoot that runs from just after Thanksgiving, the last week in November, until early May. The show is moving from Showtime to Amazon Freevee. But it is still set in the fictional Fayette County town of Buell. And so they are looking for folks to play cops, to play blue collar workers, to play white collar workers, background extra for a lot of different scenes that will be shot.
I want to be an extra in something like this and just steal the show as an extra. How do I do that?
Yeah, they won't let you do that. The answer. that's you're not supposed to stand out. If you stand out, you get the axe.
You're not doing your job. You're just supposed to be background and not steal the show, right? Well, what was the Olivier line where he was just a soldier in his first production of Hamlet, and somebody asked him what Hamlet was about, and he said, "Well, it's about this soldier." You know,
all right. That's what they don't want.
How about the new, is it a new show on QED, or what's the story with Virulent on QED?
Yeah, Virulent is a new documentary. It's about 90 minutes long. It's about vaccine skepticism and all the harms that can come from that. I was skeptical going into it, not of vaccines, but of the ability to perhaps convert a vaccine skeptic. But it actually, I thought, did a really good job. There's a lot of people interviewed, including some former vaccine skeptics, some people who were harmed or lost their children due to their vaccine skepticism. And there's a Pittsburgh tie. There's at least one Pittsburgh doctor. And there's also just, you know, a section about Jonas Salk and how everybody, you know, celebrated Jonas Salk's vaccine for polio, and that there was nobody jeering or thinking that, you know, microchips were embedded in it. Such other nonsense. So it's a really good documentary. I don't expect vaccine skeptics to watch, of which I can't imagine there are that many watching QED anyway. But, you know, as one woman in it says, something to the effect of, you never know what's going to flip somebody's switch. So for that reason, I'm glad it exists.
No, I don't think anybody was worried about microchips in the polio vaccine because they hadn't done it yet, Rob. That's why.
Well, what if somebody got in a time machine, Tim?
That's right, because the government is building those. I'd like to take one if I could, if that's at all possible.
Quantum Leap, it's a documentary.
Quantum Leap, by the way?
Oh, you know, my 8-year-old likes it, but if I never see it again, it'll be fine.
What were the two shows that they were showing? Speaking of the NBC primetime game, I was watching it last night. I always watch the Sunday night game when I'm doing my post-Steelers write-ups and all that, so I have the Sunday game on. It was The Rock.
Young Rock. Yeah. That's on Friday nights again.
Have you seen any of it or no?
Yeah, it's in its third season now.
Oh, the Lopez show. The George Lopez show is the other one.
That one's bad. I only saw the pilot and it was not good.
They both look terrible. You're telling me that the Rock show is less terrible?
Definitely less terrible. I mean, it's not one that I go out of my way to watch, but I think if you are a fan of Rock, of a Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, whichever persona you prefer, you know, it's sort of a biography, sort of a slightly fictionalized, and it shows him in different time periods. So there are different people playing The Rock. He's sort of in it in these wraparound segments from the present, but you also have a young actor playing him as a kid, as a teenager, and as an early 20-something. And it is following his path with his family, and now we're up to about 97 when he's wrestling, and they make him a heel in the WWE, or maybe it was still WWF back then. So yeah, I think if you're a wrestling fan, why not give it a watch? It's not terrible.
Last thing, Rob, let's get to this before we wrap up, and that's Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, so this is the latest show from Tyler Sheridan. He's the guy who did Yellowstone and all its sundry spinoffs, and Mayor of Kingstown, which just wrapped filming in Pittsburgh on season 2. And Tulsa King is his latest, although he's not the showrunner on it. Terrence Winter is. He came up with the concept, but it's a pretty simple concept. Stallone is a mafioso who went to prison for 25 years. He gets out and thinking that he's going to get back in with the New York mob, and instead they send him to Tulsa to shake down people there. And I have to say, of all the Sheridan shows, it might be my favorite, which is a little bit damning with faint praise because I don't love all those shows. Although Yellowstone, I actually liked in the beginning. I thought it was kind of Dallas-y, and if I had more time, I would still be watching it. But Tulsa King, what it has that Mayor of Kingstown in particular lacks is a sense of humor. And I don't know if you ever saw the 1991 Stallone comedy bomb Oscar. I reviewed it for the Daily Orange. I remember I liked it. I was one of the only people who did. But I think Stallone can do comedy pretty well when he puts his mind to it. And they really give him a lane to do some of that in this Tulsa King show.
He's basically a mob guy who goes to the neighborhood where Ray Liotta probably wound up at the end of Goodfellas, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yes. But they have some fun with it. Like, he goes into a pot shop in Oklahoma and he's shaking them down, and he's like, I'm going to protect you from gangs. And the pot shop owner is like, what gangs? Well, I'm going to protect you from the FBI. And the guy's like, it's legal. So there's and that's Martin Starr from Freaks and Geeks, who plays the pot shop owner. And then Andrea Savage, who's an actress and I think maybe a comedian even. She had a show called I'm Sorry a few years ago. She plays a character who comes into Stallone's orbit, and you find out a surprise about her at the end of the pilot. So I'm not going to spoil it for those who haven't seen it. But she's a really good kind of person for Stallone to play off. And it was lighter than I thought it would be. It wasn't as serious about itself as I thought it would be. I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not sure I will watch it every week, but I certainly think among Taylor Sheridan's shows, for Paramount Plus, I think it's one of the better ones.
All right, Rob, what can we expect in TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in TV Talk, and so I've got a review of A Christmas Story Christmas, the sequel to A Christmas Story, and there's a reality competition that is Christmas-themed that has some local players. There's also Spirited, the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell musical from the
Yes, that was
for The Greatest Showman.
That was on quite a bit during the Sunday night game.
Yeah,
there've
been a lot of ads for that. Yep. So that's what's coming in TV Talk and TV Q&A this week. Got to pull it up to see here. Oh yes, Penguins games on Channel 4. When will those air? So that'll be in this week's TV Q&A.
All right, all that coming up with Rob Owen. So make sure you watch for those to be posted at Trib Live. I'll be on daily throughout the course of this week for Breakfast with Ben's. A little bit of an adjusted schedule going into Thanksgiving, but we'll dot around that as we will for our broadcast here. But you can count on us being, at least through the month of November and leading into Christmas, pretty regularly here posted on Mondays. We'll figure out a way to make it happen one way or another. And Rob and I will be loyal and dedicated to your pop culture needs each and every week here at Pittsburgh Pop.